Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone. My name is Rebecca Kelly, and you're listening to the Everywhere We Go podcast. On this week's episode, I sit down with Olivia Fitzsimons. Olivia came to my attention when she did a live with her brother Andrew with a beautiful baby boy Luke on her lap. Olivia had a COVID pregnancy. Olivia talks to me about her and her partner Gary's plan to have a baby, and when she conceives quickly, all their dreams come true. But with maternity restrictions still up in the air, it wasn't until her 20-week scan and a brief but heartbreaking shock that the loneliness of the appointment sank in. And at 7 months, waking up to realise she was going to be very much alone in her labour through COVID, choosing the option to be induced in the hope that they would get Gary to the delivery suite on time. As a mother, this episode broke my heart. I just wanted to hug Olivia as she cried. She is one of the most resilient women I have ever met. Her heart literally sings as she talks about Luke. And to have that love and joy tainted by the silent trauma of after giving birth, Gary is sent one way while she heads to the lonely ward to look after her little boy. As Olivia said, she didn't have the strength in her to fight while she was pregnant, but she wants to fight now for all the mammies coming after her so that they will never feel the way Olivia did while she was pregnant and gave birth to Luke. Everywhere we go, people want to know who we are and where we come from. So who are you and where do you come from?
I'm Olivia Fitzsimons and I'm from Nookgrove, Raffarnham.
Olivia, hi.
Hi.
Thanks for coming today. You're very good.
Thank you so much for having me.
The reason you're here today, you have your mammy's mind and the baby for you.
Yes.
So you have a newborn baby. Well, yeah. How old?
He is 3 months now. Nearly four.
Nearly four. And what's his name?
Luke.
Luke.
Little Luke.
Little Luke. You miss him already?
It's mental. Yeah. I'm sure when he's asleep, I miss him. They'll be looking at pictures and he's asleep beside me. It's crazy. And well, I'm obsessed with them.
This is your first time, mom?
Yeah.
Okay. So do you want to talk to me a little about that? Did you sit down and say, right, we're going to have a baby?
Yeah. Like we'd said it, we're together about 9 years now. And Gary, my partner, has a little boy already. Well, he's not little now. He's 12 now. Mm-hmm. But he was 3 when we got together. So like for us, I think like I'm 29, which is now kind of young for having a kid. But we wanted kids for ages and we'd said it a couple of years ago and I was like, well, I had said it and I was like, oh, he's going to put up a fight. So I'll say it now. Mm-hmm. And then we're like saying, oh, maybe next year. And he was like, yeah. So then, and then I work for myself as well. So that obviously like I had to come into consideration, like you couldn't do that. So at the start, obviously, because everything's a business, like, so like then COVID hit. So I was like, we were just at home and it was just everything slowed down. And I was like, because we'd always said, oh, when we get our own place, or oh, when work calms down, like we'll do it. And then last year, well, a year and a half ago, we got our own place, like we moved out. And then I moved location with work so I could reduce my hours because I wasn't spending money crazy like I was in work before. Mm-hmm. And, but I didn't even realize, you know, like the rat race, you're like, oh, everything's like, go, 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 go. And it was only when COVID hit, I was like, oh, we're actually like in the position we said we wanted to be in.
And so, can I ask you, is it as a business owner when COVID hit, there is a realization?
Oh yeah. Like completely. It's just money really at the start. Because you have to make a certain amount of money. And like in my business, I'm beauty. So you have to be building up your clientele. And I was lucky, like I had a good clientele anyway when I went out on my own. But like, you still have to build it up and you have to just get your head around owning it and the business side of it. Do you know, that's the hard bit. I could do my job with my eyes closed. Do you know what I mean? Mm. But it's the business side that you're like, oh shit. So it's a big thing to have a kid. Like, you couldn't go into it straight away and have your business would be gone.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But and I wanted to keep the business. I always wanted to have my own. So I was like, I want it to be up. I want to be established. I want to be set in a place where I know I can go back to that. Won't be like, it's either kid or business. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Mm. I wanted both and I'm delighted I could do that. Do you mm-hmm. know what I mean? But that was all. It was all planned. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, COVID hit and like Gary, his son is little Gary. So we have him normally every weekend. But with COVID and the homeschool and I wasn't working. So we were like, I love stuff like that. Like, I'm a weirdo. I love stuff like homework and things. So I was like, why don't we swap? And like, his mom was grand with that. So we took him Monday to Friday. So me and Gary, for the first time in not like at then 8 years, had weekends together. We'd never had a weekend unless we were away.
Isn't
just
that
time
amazing?
Together.
You must have a great relationship that you decided that and you sat down and worked and co-parent and said, look, we'll do Monday to Fridays to do homework and to do all that. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah, I know. We get on really well, like with his mom and her husband. Like, it's like people slag us because like, we do have Christmas Eve together or not. So we either stay in their house or they come up to us and we have like, and same with birthdays.
Yeah.
Like, and they'd stay or whatever and wake up and people are like, what? And I'm like, yeah, this is just how it's been. But that was them. Mm. Like, that was their decision when they broke up. They're like, we're parents and that's it. Like, and I was friends with Gary before we got together. So I knew the situation and I knew what was going on. And like, even when we decided to get together, it was real cute. He was like, well, like, we come as a package, you know. And he was really, like, he was only 27. He was like, well, like, you know, like, it's Gary as well. Like, and I was like, yeah, I know. That's why I like, part of why I like is that you're a dad and you're responsible. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, so like when we took him then Monday to Friday with the weekends, we didn't know what to be doing. Like, we really didn't because it was either work or like I'd always work a Saturday. So, but like, it was just us and we ended up having sessions, like just the two of us. I said, just the two of us at home.
Yeah,
it was we'd be up listening to YouTube like 7-8 in the morning. Like, it was crazy. And then like that was a novelty for a while. And then one day I was like, okay, now like let's get into real life. And it's a perfect time. And really, because in my head, I was like, oh, if I get pregnant, like now straight away, great. Like, and like I was 28, was I? I got pregnant. Yeah, I was 28 when I got pregnant. So I was like, if it takes a year, grand. If it takes 5 years, fine. Do you know what I mean? Now we were lucky it did happen straight away. But I was like, oh, sure, if I get pregnant now, like all this COVID stuff will be over by the time I'm having the baby. Like, do you know what I mean? So I was like, it would be great because we've all locked down and then I have the baby and then real life's back. Do you know what I mean? But little did I know, it would be the worst time. And like the big thing happened in January, the big lockdowns and everything went absolutely crazy. So it was probably one of the hardest times to have because the restrictions came in like full force again.
And when did you find out you're pregnant?
So it's coming up to a year, actually. I think it was the 29th of May. But I knew straight away.
Did you?
I knew straight away. And I was like, because I heard people saying that before and I was like, weirdo. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I felt completely different. Like, and I wasn't drinking. I'd he'd be like, have a drink. And I'd be like, oh yeah. Like, because I wasn't like going to be like, I think I'm pregnant a week after. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, oh yeah, I'll have one or whatever. I just didn't want it. Just completely, I completely turned off drink. And I just felt so different. I did a test and it was like, no, not pregnant. And I was like, I'm obviously just not far enough along. And I waited a week and I did it. And it was like, yeah, it was like 1 week pregnant. So like 1 to 2 weeks on the clear blue thing. And I was like, yeah, there we go. But we like, we both knew by then I was.
And how did you feel at that moment when you got that 1 to 2 weeks pregnant?
Oh, it was amazing. It was amazing. I actually have a picture because I sent it to my best friend. I rang, he was in work. I couldn't even wait for him to come back to work. I swear to God. It was like when I woke up, I was like, oh no, it's Friday. I did a week ago. So I'll do it today. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh no, I'll wait for him to come back from work. And he works half day on a Friday. It was only a couple of hours. And I was just like, oh no. So I can't even remember if I rang. Oh no, I did ring him. And he normally works in a workshop, but he was out on site that day. He was like, oh yeah, I'm just up on a roof. I was like, we're having a baby.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So it was crazy. But it was lovely. I just cried. Just like, I am a crier though. Okay. I'm a crier. So I'll probably cry today.
Okay.
Nearly crying now. We've been talking about how happy I was. Yeah. But yeah, I just right? And just, I literally just sat on the bed, I think, because he rang me about an hour later and I was still sitting on the side of the bed, just like, what's going on? And I was looking up like what my due day would be, all this stuff, like, and it was just one of the best days of my life.
And other than him, who did you ring? Did you ring anyone or did you just keep it to yourselves?
I kept it to myself, So I rang, and my mum would kill me now that I told Rebecca before. But no, I told me, but now I was out with the girls. This is when you could like be outside.
Yeah.
So we went to the field and had a few drinks one day, like we were 16. And having a drink and I was like to my friend, like she's my best friend, she's like half of me. I was like, I think I'm pregnant. She was like, really? And I was like, yeah, no, I really think I am. And because even like that, I wasn't drinking like normal on the go because I like a drink. Like, yeah, and the girls are like, yeah, all right. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm just like a bit tired, you know, from the week. I wasn't doing that. And like, and yeah, I was just like, I think I am. So then she kind of knew, do you know the way? So every day she was like, did you do a test? Did you do a test? Did you do a test? So I sent her a picture of the pregnant 1 to 2. Mm-hmm. And she, I still have the picture. She sent me a picture like bawling, crying. Like, so it was gorgeous. But we decided, like, I am a bit of a worrier. Do you know what I mean? So I decided not to really tell people. We didn't tell anyone but our parents till I was 12 weeks. Like,
and what do you worry about?
I just worried about, I think because everything happened so perfectly that I was like, oh, something's going to go wrong. Do you know what I mean? I was like, I'm not going to be well or something's going to happen, baby, or blah, blah. So, and I was so happy that having to tell people any bad news, I just wouldn't have been able. Mm-hmm. Do you know that way? So I told my mum, my dad and Gary's mum before 12 weeks and that was it. We didn't even tell little Gary.
Really?
Yeah. And the chap can't keep a secret for his life. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I was like, we'll tell him when we want everyone to know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just worried about everything. It was just everything happened to like perfectly.
And does that stem from anything?
I don't think so. Like, it was only about that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. I think I've wanted to be a mom for so long. Like, I was one of those kids on holidays, you know, your package holidays and like everyone would be doing the kids club and there'd be a baby somewhere and I'd be like, oh, I want to look after the baby.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I'd be like, oh, you're so cute. Now, looking back, I was probably that annoying child that was more hindrance than help. But I've just always wanted them. So I was like, oh, when it happens, like, I was just scared.
Of course.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. And then obviously at that time, it was the first kind of set of restrictions and stuff. So it was just a bit, you weren't seeing anyone anyway. Do you know what I mean? So it wasn't like you had to make an excuse not to do something or.
It was an easy secret to keep.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Now I ended up with the restrictions lifted when I was 8 weeks. So I ended up going back to work at 8 weeks. And that was the only time I was sick. So at the start, like nauseous, like, do you know what I mean? From kind of 5, 6 weeks to good 12, 13. No, not bad. And then everyone's like, oh, are you enjoying being back to work and all? And I was just like, oh, I just want to be in bed.
Yeah.
But I was like, yeah, great. Because you can't say it. It's the hardest time. And it's when I felt I couldn't say it. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So you're like absolutely knackered. You just wanted to be in bed, but happy to be back to work. Do you know what I mean? So, and I was moving salons as well.
God.
So it was all just a bit.
Did you already have your business?
I had my business. Okay. It was just moving locations.
Okay.
So I moved to where I am now in Dundrum. Okay. In the Craft. It's the most gorgeous place in the world. So I was supposed to open there on Paddy's Day. And that's when everything closed. So the day I was supposed to open is the day it was all shut down. So yeah, I think it was June when I opened in the end. But like, it was fine. Do you know what I mean? I just felt like the girls only opened the salon in February and then it was just like brand new salon. And then it was just like closed. It was so hard for so many businesses. Like, I've seen so many beauty and hair businesses that just won't come back.
It's heartbreaking, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Cause you work so hard. Like, even for me, and it's only me, and I only want it to be me. Do you know what I mean? It's a decision. Do you know what I mean? I just don't want to be a boss for anyone else. Do you know what
really?
I mean? I've seen it and it just, I know it wouldn't be for me. Do you know what I mean? So but for people that had like employees during this time, I don't know like how they got through it. Like, I really don't. It was the stress of just me and like knowing exactly what was going on. And still, I wouldn't be able.
And then tell me at what point then you're in your lovely pregnancy bubble. And then What did you tell Gary? How did you tell Gary?
Little Gary. We actually have a video, and I mean to post it all the time because I didn't post it at the time because I'm talking about all my pregnancy now and blah, blah, blah. I didn't talk about my pregnancy at all, really, the whole time. I only put up a picture at Christmas. So it was like the end of the year. Like I was due February 1st. Like, so people found out, like if you hadn't seen now, if you saw me, I'd tell you.
Yeah.
But like I wasn't one of these like putting bump pictures up and putting scans up and all, like none of that. So it's funny now. I'm only talking about it now because the restrictions and like I'm happy to and Luke's fine and like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Stuff like that. And I'm just, so I want to shout from the rooftops because I'm so happy. But yeah, I didn't talk about it like at all.
Why? Really?
I don't know. I think, you know, you just see it like, and I know it sounds bad. You know, you see those people who are pregnant and then that's it. Like I get it. Mm. And I've actually turned into one of those people.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, that's all you'll see for 9 months. And do you know what I mean? And I was just like, no, I wanted to keep it to ourselves. Like, mm. do you know what I mean? Now I'd post stuff actually more now mm. from when I was pregnant and I've put up like pictures that I hadn't before. But I don't know. I just didn't want to be like, oh, there's Olivia. So I was obviously about the baby. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, so, and especially on the business page, I always wanted the business page to be business. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So like I have a personal one now as well. So I put loads of him up on that now.
So tell me about little Gary. You're telling him that you're pregnant.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah. So what we did was Gary made up the idea. I was like, oh, hello. Like, didn't expect it at all. So what we did was he blew up balloons mm. and put little notes in them. So he was like, I think there was 3 balloons. And I swear to God, wait till you see the video. Chap gives him like a machete knife to open the thing. I think there's loads of like butter knives. Like yeah, it's yeah. a huge knife thing. Yeah. So he was like, so he popped the first one and it was like, I'm going to. And then I read that and I was like, oh my God, Chap's going to think he's going to Disneyland. I was like, Chap's going to think we're going to Florida or something. I was like, ah. And then, so that was the first one. And then the second one, be, and then the third one's like a big brother. Uh-huh. Well, he read the third one and he just read it. And he was just like, he read the other ones out loud and this one he just read and he just looked at it. He just started crying. I still can't watch the video. I've watched the video about 500 times and I bawled every single time. He was just, I think it was shock and it was happiness and it was anxiety over it. It was like everything at once. And it was just, it was so gorgeous. And the tree was the little group hug and it was just lovely. Like it was so nice.
Magical.
Yeah. It was one of the best parts of the pregnancy. Do you know what I mean? Because it was 3 months and like we had the scan to show him and everything. But it was gorgeous. He was so happy because, you know, he was 11. So mm. we were like, he's old enough to know it won't take away from him, but still,
yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
still different because he's been in, like, his mom doesn't have kids either. So it was the first like brother or sister. And I was kind of like, oh, I don't know how it'll go. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he's just delighted. And ever since, the whole way through, delighted. He bought stuff for the baby before we had.
Oh,
he came up one day and he had all baby grows and little blankets and all. Oh, so cute.
And did you think, because did you know, obviously, that Gary was such a lovely father to Gary, that you were like, I just can't wait to have kids with him?
Yeah. Yeah. Like it was honestly, like I was only 21 when we got together, just, and it was still a big part of me wanting to be with him. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm sure we've all seen it not going that way.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And people having kids and then on to the next girl having another kid and see you later, or just not having that responsibility, I guess.
Yeah.
Just being like, oh, well, like, leave him with the mom. Do you know what I mean? Whereas he was never like that. He was like, as I said, I think he was 27. We got together and it was like, every weekend, like we worked together.
Right.
So that's how we met. Mm. But like we'd all be going out every weekend and every weekend would be like, oh, are you coming out? And he was just like, oh no, like I'm home with the baby. Well, like he was straight. But yeah, he was like, yeah, no, I'm home with Gara. So no, like it would be, he'd go out for like special occasions. Do you know what I mean? And to see that, I was like, because as I said, I always wanted kids.
Yeah.
That it was a huge part of me getting with him. And then I was so excited for years to have a baby with him. Do you know what I mean? Aww. Because even seeing him with his niece and nephews and my niece, like it's just the cutest thing ever. It's just, you see a whole different side to him, don't you?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's,
you
just
really do.
Gorgeous.
And then tell me then when, and you realize, shit, hospital appointments, stuff like that. Like, so how did hospital appointments go? And at what point were you told, was he going to be allowed at anything? Was he allowed at everything? How did it work?
No, he wasn't at anything. Nothing. So we decided to do the private 7-week scan for that reason. Well, for that reason, and we both have twins in our family. So I was like, eh, let's just check that one first. But I was like, there's no way I'm hearing my baby's heartbeat for the first time on my own. I'm just not. Do you know what I mean? So we were lucky we were in a position we could. It was like 200 quid or something. It's not cheap. So we said we'd do that. But like, we had no clue. You just had no idea. You just had to go with it. Like, there was, because at that time as well, the restrictions were so wishy-washy. It was like, it'll open this week. And then it would either be closer, like, because with the salon, we opened sooner than we thought. So I was just like, so you just didn't know. So even if there was a date, you wouldn't take it as viable. Do you know what I mean? You'd be like...
And can I ask you what you said there about the heartbeat thing? Like, one of my friends, now she's pregnant, and she tried to record the heartbeat for our husband. They wouldn't let her.
They wouldn't let me either.
Would they not?
So actually now at my 12-week scan, sorry, they did. They let me take a little video. She was lovely. She was so nice, the girl. And she let me take like 5-second video, nothing major. Do you know what I mean? And I go to her, I was like, because we knew then, realistically, he wouldn't be at the big scan, the 20-week scan. So I was like, do you think they'd let me do just even this at the scan? I don't even want to video call him. I don't have to wait for him to answer. I just want to take literally a small video. And she was like, well, policy is we're not supposed to let you. But obviously, policy is a bit weird now because of the situation we're in. She was like, it depends on who you get, but mostly, yeah, they will be able to, or they'll let you. So I was like, grand. Because I just wanted something different for him. I didn't want him to be seeing the same pictures that everyone else is seeing. And the set. Now I ended up sending that video to everyone. But like, I wanted to be able to send him a picture being like, this year, baby, and blah, blah. Do you know what I mean? And I just, then the 20-week scan happened. And so I was going in like, now, and it's another thing, it's to every appointment, you're sitting there and you're sitting there on your own. And especially the 12 and 20 week, I was there, and all, like, it would have made the world a difference if he was just beside me, just holding my hand, just because you're so nervous. Do you know what I mean? And I like had a great pregnancy as well. So the 12 week, I was starting to feel better as well. I wasn't even really nauseous anymore and stuff. So in my head, I'm like, is that a good sign? Is that a bad sign? Should I be sick? Should I be this? Should I be that? And I was like, I feel fine now. So does that mean something? So you're sitting there because you've no idea. Like, and I've heard of a lot of people. I know a lot of people that went to that scan that didn't get the news that I got. Do you know what I mean? That got bad news. So you, that's all that goes through. It's only the bad stuff that went through my mind before the 12 and 20 week. Do you know what I mean?
And does he go with you to the hospital and wait outside?
No, he didn't. Like, because kind of realistic. So like, what's the point? Do you know what I mean? So he said it to me. He was like, well, I come. And I was like, for what? Do you know what I mean? I was like, just go and I'll ring you. And like, that's it. Which was hard as well. Like, but I think him even being in the car would have been just as hard. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it was just, it was so lonely. The whole thing, like, pregnancy, I presume, now I did obviously through COVID, but I presume it's lonely for everyone. Do you know what I mean?
It's in a way, it's nice because you can get, and you're going to talk and you're meeting your friends and you're telling them and they're rubbing your bump and you know that you're making plans. And that's kind of how I experienced it, you know what I mean? And going down and sitting in my mom's and my dad, feeling the bump and everything like that, you know what I mean? Or making a kick, or my friends going, oh my God, is that a kick? And like, you know what I mean? That kind of experience is what I had. But I think, and again, I think Melissa said it, the whole sitting in the waiting room for a scan with all the other women around you must be surreal.
It's surreal. It is. And you can just see everyone's kind of feeling the same. Everyone's excited but nervous. And then you get called. It's just real. Oh, I don't know. I felt like I was going to principal's office or something. Do you know what I mean? No, it's just like, I was so excited, but I just would have been a lot calmer if he had been there. I was excited, but I would have been a lot more like happy excited. Do you know what I mean? If he was there, it would have been a happy day rather than a
apprehensive day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like the 12-week scan was fine, and that she let me take the video, but the 20-week was a whole different ball game.
Was it?
Whole different ball game. I remember sitting in the waiting room, and I remember after the 12-week scan saying to Gary, it's like, you could have been there. Like for normal appointments, it was busy. Do you know what I mean? But for the ultrasound, and I think it was kind of a good thing COVID wise, everyone had to have a time. So there was no give 20 women 10 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So on my 12 week, no one in the waiting room, just me. So, what? Yeah. So I was sitting there and then everything's obviously just, they're efficient in a great way. Do you know what I mean? So you're just sitting there and I remember saying to him, like, there's no reason you could have been there. And I was like, I'm going to go mad if I go into the 20 week scan and it's the same thing. No, I sent him a video of the waiting room and it's a big room, like the ultrasound waiting room in the Coombe. And I took a video like of the whole room and sent it to him. And that was the first time that he was like, because he was trying to be calm for me. And yeah, I think he was a lot more angry and upset than he ever shared to me during the pregnancy. Do you know what I mean? Because I was angry enough for both of us. Yeah. And that was the first time he was like, that's ridiculous.
Was it packed?
Do you know what I mean? No one. No one. I was the only person in it. So there was one girl in front of me, like two rows up.
Oh my God.
So I was like, and we live together. I was like, that's the whole thing with support partners. Like if it's either your partner or your mom or your whoever,
yeah,
you're seeing them. Do you know what I mean? So if I had COVID, he probably had. Do you know what I mean? That's the whole point of why the restrictions make no sense to me. Do you know what I mean? Even in the height of it. I get it at the start because no one knew what was going on. No one knew how COVID would spread. No one was vaccinated. I get it. Do you know what I mean? And I, even with the appointments, even with the 12 week, I understood. I didn't feel any kind of way about it. I was like, this is just what we have to do. And we chose to get pregnant in the lockdown. So this is part of it, you know? But I started to get angry at the 20 week scan then because it just seemed so unnecessary. Do you know what I mean? And at that time I was like, why couldn't he be in the car? I ring him and be like, I'm ready to go. If he missed the start of it, he just comes in when I'm there. Do you know what I mean? Like he would have seen no one, like it would have been, and the room is big enough as well, the scanning room. So if he, I didn't need him beside me. If he had been the other end.
He could have social distanced.
Oh, he would have been five, 6 meters away. Never mind the two. Do you know what I mean? But the 20 week was a tough one because like they were checking everyone, checking everything and it was fine. And then, yeah. And as well, she was like, do you want to find out what it is? And I was like, even if I did, there's no way I'd do it on my own. Do you know what I mean? Now, I know some people obviously did, but I, just even to say that to me, I was just like, that's crazy.
To me, I have to say, listening to you, I would be heartbroken. Oh, I can understand your anger because to, like, especially, you know, it's your first child, to hear the heartbeat, to have that experience as partners.
Yeah.
Is just so amazing.
Yeah.
And the bond, it's like.
But that's the thing. And I worried about, he never worried about it. And I said it to him like during the pregnancy, I was like, do you feel like you'll have that bond to the baby that you had with Gara when he was born? And he was like, oh yeah, of course I will. And blah, blah. And I was like, will you though? In my head, I was like, can he? I was like, I could be faking this whole thing. He wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's actually, I was like, pretty valid.
Yeah. I was like, you wouldn't have a clue because like that, I felt grand. I didn't get bumped for ages. And I'm like, I'm not a small girl. So I thought I'd get bumped pretty soon. And I didn't for ages. So like even going in for the 20 week, I didn't feel like I looked pregnant.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And, but the 20 week was hard because so I had my phone ready.
Yeah.
Do you know, just to take a little video at the start. And the midwife, I think it's the midwife who does the ultrasounds, I don't know. She was like, oh, you can put your phone down there. Like, so at the chair at the bottom of the bed. And I was like, oh, well, like the girl of 12 weeks said I might be able to take a little video. And she's like, oh, no. And I was like, really? So this, I hadn't even gotten to bed yet.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, it's against policy. And so we can't do it. So I was just from that. So I started crying then. So I was like, but I had a mask on. So I don't think she even knew I was crying because like the tears are just rolling down the mask. And then she started the scan then. And then everything was going fine. And then she was checking the heart. And now I think she started to be being really nice. I think she kind of realized how kind of harsh she sounded. So she's like being overly nice. And I was like, you're gone from me. Like this is done.
Yeah.
And then it got to the heart and I could see it being, but then I was like, is it? And I was like, because she wasn't saying anything. Because the whole way along, she was like, that's this, that's the leg, that's the foot, that's the whatever. And then she just went real quiet. And I was just like, oh, Jesus Christ. Because it's obviously the big part, like it's the heart. And I was like, is everything okay? And she was just like, obviously she can't say yeah if she didn't think it was. So she was like, we just can't really see what I need to be seeing here. So just give me a second and I'll just have another look. And I was just like, so then I was gone. So I was just like, bawling. And then she was just like, yeah, so we're going to have to move to another room. And I was just like, oh God. I was like, so I'm going to cry again. So no one's here. Do you know what I mean? So I was just, my heart sank. Thanks.
Take your time. Don't worry, take your time. Told you we'll drink lots of tea during this.
Yeah. So she was just like, oh, we have a more modern machine in this room, so go in. So I was going in here and I was just like, oh my God.
And in that moment, all you want is someone to hold your hand.
Yeah. Oh, he wouldn't have even had to say anything. Like nothing. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And that's all. And I was in too much of a shock. I didn't even know if I, because she said about the phone, I didn't even ring him. I didn't even text him. I was just like, just wanting her to get that scan going. Do you know what I mean? So she did. And now I'd say it could have been 2 minutes, but it was like 4 days it took. And then she's like, oh yeah, that's it. And I was just like, oh my God. Thank God. I was just like, I didn't even know how to feel. Do you know what I mean? Because then I was like, in that moment, I was so angry. I was on my own. I was so angry because there was no one anywhere. So like even in the corridors, there was not one person anywhere. So I was just like, I was just so angry. I was upset. Then I was relieved. Obviously, I was more happy and relieved than anything. Do you know what I mean? But that was tough. Do you know what I mean? And then, like, I think, I don't even know if it's an Irish thing, but then when everything was okay, then, like, you ring and you're like, oh, yeah, everything's grand. Do you know what I mean? So, like, no one even knew till I said that on, I said it on the Instagram Live with my brother. And no one knew because I didn't even think to tell people then afterwards. Like, it was a huge thing for me. But I was like, you know what, Irish thing? I was like, well, it was fine. So, like, why would you say it?
Grant.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. So, I would have told Gary. I definitely would have told Gary. But I didn't get to tell my family or friends or anything. It was just like, oh, yeah, everything's great. And you have your pictures and you're sending them or whatever. But, like, to have to go through that and then get in my car just on my own. And all that, once I got to my car, I was just like, what if that was bad news? Like, what would I do right now if that was bad news? And for all the women who are getting bad news, and you can see it. And I saw women getting bad news coming out of the rooms. Do you know what I mean? And just walking through the hospital on their own. Do you know? It was just, that's all that went through my mind. Was it went from me very quickly to other people. Do you know what I mean? And that's why even now I'm talking about it, because I was lucky. Well, not lucky, but like he was fine. Do you know? Well, I didn't know he was a he, but like it could have been bad news for me. And I'd kind of thought, as I said, I was worried. I was like, I'd kind of thought of it from then, but I was like, oh no, it won't happen. Do you know what I mean? But then in that second, I was like, oh God. And I was like, what happens if that was bad news? Like, do women just get in their car and drive home on their own? And I was like, that's obviously what they do. Then I just got really angry and I was texting into my girls group just on a mad one, being like, this has to change. This has to change. And I was saying to Linda from Women Ascend, which is an amazing like organization, I presume you call it. Well, it's just actually a community. So it's a community on Instagram. And I was saying that to her. I was so angry and upset then, but I felt, for me, I had to just keep it to myself at that point. I was like, I have to be, like, I'm a very positive person and I'm a very happy person, like, luckily. And I made the decision when I got pregnant. I was like, I know it's COVID, it's everything, but this is going to be a happy and positive pregnancy, and I'm not going to be stressed. I'm just going to be as positive as I can and calm for the whole thing. So I was like, after that day, I was like, okay, I have to just take a breath and get through the rest of the pregnancy, and then we'll fight. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, but then in my head, I was like, it was 20 weeks. I was like, if I have to, I will, but sure, I'll all be done. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, I won't even have to think about it. And yeah, it was about, I think I was about 7 months pregnant, and I had the realization. I was like, had a day and I was like, Gary's not going to be with me. And I just woke up and I was just like, these restrictions aren't going. And that's before I got bad again. But I was just like, they weren't going anywhere. When every other restriction was being lifted, there was no even talk about it, about the maternities. So I was like, this isn't going anywhere. For the maternity hospitals, like nowhere. So, and I had clients at the time, like I deal with women, like 100% of my clients are women, having babies. And I was hearing more and more stories of labor through COVID. And I was just like, this is going to be tough. So that day, I think I was about 7 months, and that realization was a big one, because the whole way I was like, oh, I'll be fine. And then from that day on, every single day of my pregnancy, all I thought about was having a baby on my own. Every single day. And I was just like, how am I going to do this? Like, and I'm a strong person, and every woman is strong in my opinion, mm-hmm. but I can do stuff on my own. I'm fiercely independent. Like, I'm okay. Even the induction on my own, I was fine. I was like, that's a whole other story. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I can't have this baby on my own. Like, I just, there's nothing that can like make me be okay with that, or ever get my head around even having to think it. Do you know what I mean? So that one was tough. That day was tough.
Can you imagine another person out there with anxieties or with leads through pregnancy or with anything? You know, as you said, you're a strong person who's someone who wasn't so strong. Mm. Could you imagine the pregnancy for them?
Oh, like there was one day, one of my appointments, and in the coom, like didn't know, but you can hear basically the next room. And it was a girl talking about how much she's bleeding. And I think now it was near the end of my pregnancy. So I was maybe 36 weeks at that stage. And she was quite early. And I was just like, she's going to have to think about this all the time. And if anything happens, she's going to have to be on her own. Mm-hmm. If anything happens and she's brought into the hospital, or if she admits herself to the hospital, mm-hmm. she's going to be on her own. Like, it's crazy. And as I said, I don't suffer from anxiety or anything like that, but I know a lot of people who suffer with anxiety and different mental health issues. And I just don't know how you could do it. I really don't. Like, because as I said, mine was so straightforward and it was still so tough. Mm. Like, so it's tough for anyone in any, like without COVID or whatever, but I just don't know how you'd even get yourself to the appointments.
Yeah.
Like I just don't. And I heard a girl I know, she doesn't suffer from anxiety or anything, but she had a very similar like induction delivery to me. And the day she went in for induction, found out she was a close contact. She had a baby 2 weeks before me. So her partner wasn't allowed in. She went through 2 days of labor and a very difficult delivery on her own. And I was just in shock. I was just like, and she didn't have it. Neither of them had COVID. I was like, why couldn't you get tested? Do you know what I mean? Like, I got tested for COVID in the maternity hospital before I went in for my induction. I was like, why couldn't you just, and they have to test, like, yeah. I got my results that same day. Mm. It's like, why couldn't they just do that on the induction day? And then, it was done. Do you know what I mean? But yeah. I was like, why can't anyone think of these women? Mm. Like, why? I just don't understand how it's not a priority for anyone. Do you know what I mean?
And God, like, I know obviously staff and resources and stuff like that, but God, could they not have, like, even, I don't know, it's a stupid idea, but I was like, could they not even got old midwives or old nurses in to hold hands, to, to even like, just to, you know, get them in and, you know, like, I'm sure support people, they should have been able to find support people to come in and just say, hi, Olivia, I'm Rebecca, and I'm going to be in the room with you while you're getting your scan. Unfortunately, your husband, but I'm going to stand here with you. And at least you could have been like, piss off, I don't need you, but you, at least you could be like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think, in my opinion, personally, that would have made me more angry.
Would have.
I'm like, if I can't, if I can have her in here, why can't I have him in there?
Yeah,
do you know what
true.
I mean?
Yeah.
So, but do you see the thing about the rotunda?
No.
That everyone's saying. So in the rotunda now, like in the height restrictions, people are going in, finding out bad news on their own, or having their scans, or going in for labour or inductions, whatever, can't have their partners. And there's producers from the rotunda going around asking them questions and asking them to be in the show.
Oh my God.
And people are just, there's uproar about it.
So angry.
So it's like, and they're saying, oh, well, there's no cameramen. They're doing it all, the remote cameras.
Yeah.
It's like, who put the cameras in? Do you know what I mean? You're going to have those people in.
Yeah.
But, like, for the producers just roaming around, and they said they're in every department.
Oh my God.
It's not like it's just in like the general waiting area or anything. They're everywhere.
So come here, tell me about your induction. Why were you induced?
So I had gestational diabetes. So I found that out kind of late on because I didn't have any symptoms of it. My sister had it, so I just had to get checked for it. And they were like, oh, you have it. And I was like, oh God. So,
is that hereditary?
Yeah, it's like a genetic thing. Yeah, I don't know. But I was fine with it, and I was diet based and everything. Like, I didn't have to go on medication or anything. But I just had to have my checks in the hospital. Before that, I was doing the domino thing, which was amazing.
What's that?
But that's, so you do some of your appointments in the hospital, but then some are locally.
Yeah.
So that was brilliant. But from, like the end of my 20 weeks, like 28, 29, I found out I had that. My 40 week checkup happened to be my due date, but there was nothing happening. Like, I knew there was nothing happening. Like, I was still walking 5K a day, like, not a bother on me, felt completely fine. And I'd had an additional growth scan at 36 weeks to check if he was measuring big or anything, because that's a classic kind of thing with gestational diabetes. And he wasn't, he was measuring completely on track and everything. So on my due date, she was like, this is a Monday. She was like, okay, so we're going to induce you on the Wednesday. And I was just like, in my head, I was like, I don't want to be induced. I really don't. But then the overriding thing in my head, what came in was that if I get induced, Gary misses nothing. Do you know what I mean? So I don't want to do it, but now he'd kill me for saying that because he'd be like, you didn't have to do it. But you're obviously going to pick that over. For me, I was going to pick him not missing a thing over waiting. She was just like, do you want to? Well, she didn't actually ask me, but I presume if you didn't want to, you could say. But I was like, okay, yeah, I'll do it. So the Wednesday then, Gary dropped me there at 6:30 in the morning and dropped me at the door. Couldn't even like bring my bags in or anything. So I was like 40 weeks back. Now I was fine, but I know a lot of other women wouldn't be at that stage going out with my two bags. Do you know what I mean?
What was it like leaving them in the car?
It was tough. But as I said, I knew it was happening. I just, at that stage, I was like, everything just has to be positive because this baby has to be born with me being positive and calm through the whole thing. So I was like, it's shit, but, oh, sorry, can I say? So I was like, it's shit, but has to be done. So he went off to work and she had told me now, which I was happy she told me. I didn't know an induction took that long. So
how long did it take?
In my 2 days.
Oh, wow.
I had him like 2 days late. And because in my head, I was like, oh, you get induced and have the baby an hour later.
In my head, that's what I took as well. I have two children.
So she was like, yeah, if you get induced on the Wednesday, you're more than likely having the baby on the Thursday. Right. And I was like, oh, right, okay.
And at that point, did she give you a plan and say, so this time you're going to go through this and then Gary can come in from this and then Like, did they give you a plan there and tell you about him coming in with you or?
Yeah, so, well, I don't think she told me then, but I knew that he could only come in when I was moved to the delivery suite.
Okay.
But at that time, I didn't know when I was, when I got moved to the delivery suite. So I was like, do I get moved when I'm having contractions? Do I get moved when I'm in active labor? I didn't know. But I went in, at 6:30 on the Wednesday, and they brought me up and gave me the pessary thing. So that to start the induction. And then I started getting contractions kind of later that morning. And then they got like, so I was fine being on my own. I had my like AirPods in, I was watching Netflix. I was like, oh, this is grand. And then I was like, oh shit, this is not grand. But like at the same time, that day was nicer because I think everyone, well, I think the girls and my, there's three of us. And we were all around the same age and we were talking and one of the girls had been through it before. So she was, I was like, I'm in bits. And she was like, have a shower, do this, do this. But like, she was helping me. There was not like, the place was ramped. Like there was people everywhere. So I understood the midwives not coming near me because I was fine. Do you know what I mean? I was getting traces and stuff every now and again, just to make sure that the baby was okay. But she helped me through it. Do you know what I mean? She was like, that's what this is. And this is happening now. And like, I was like, should I be feeling this so early? Because my friend had an induction and didn't feel anything for 2 days. Like, you know, you just don't have a clue. And everyone's different, obviously. But I remember they got really bad about 6 that evening. And I remember like being on the ball, like rolling over the ball, ringing Gary, like video calling him, shaking, like my hand was shaking. And I was like, this is when I needed him here. Do you know what I mean? Like just for me to even give out to him. Do you know what I mean? Just to have someone to talk to. Because or just like try get your head out of it a little bit. Like you've nothing to do but think. And you've nothing to do but think about how much pain you're in because it's just you. Do you know what I mean? There's no kind of relief or release. Do you know what I mean? From anywhere else. It's just you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
In a little cubicle and good luck. Do you know? That was not nice.
Were you frightened?
No, I was never frightened. Well, the next day I got frightened. But no, the induction, I wasn't frightened. I was very lonely, very lonely. And people are texting me and people are, but you're in bits. Like, I'm not responding to, like, that's another thing. If Gary had been there, like a lot of people would have been more in touch. Like my mom was trying to call me and I was just in bits. So she had no idea. She could have had a grandchild by then and she wouldn't have a clue. Do you know what I mean? Gary could have had a kid and wouldn't have known. Do you know what I mean? But no, I wasn't frightened. Like at that stage, I was getting excited as well. But I think lonely was actually would have been the biggest part of that day.
That's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But again, it's my first. So I didn't even know if normally partners were with you. And I didn't ask anyone any questions before because I didn't want to know. Because I was like, if they are normally, it'll upset me more, which I learned after they are normally there for. Even like that, just getting your water. Yeah. Like I remember I was on the ball on the right hand side of the bed and my water was on the left hand side of the bed. And all I needed was a sup of water. And I was like rolling on the thing. I was like, I can't stand up to get that. So I just went hours without having water. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm not going to ring a midwife being like, oh, can you get me a bit of water? Do you know what I mean? But it's little things like that. Or like my phone was ringing and it was on the bed, but I couldn't reach it on the bed. Do you know? It's just, it's the tiny things. Like I was starving as well. We won't get into that, but you can't run to get anything. You can't go to the shop if you want a snack. Do you know what I mean? There's just, it's a tough one.
Yeah, because I remember that I just wanted a Snickers and a can of Coke. That's all I wanted.
Well, I still had my diabetes then. Oh, so God. I couldn't even have any. I had to have like almond nuts and a yogurt or something. But but that's why I had to be so, I had to bring everything in. Because I was like, there's no me going anywhere for anything. Like Gary couldn't, obviously there was no visitation even for an hour. So I couldn't forget anything and be like I forgot my TENS machine. Like I had it at home.
Oh my God.
And I was like, there's no even point to me. Now it turns out like he could have left that thing or we were just so not in your head at that time. So I was like, well, he can't come in. So I can't, like I forgot it. It's not here. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah. God, the TENS machine got me through, Amelia.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what it's like. So, I was like, I remember being on the ball being like, I wish I had that TENS machine. But yeah, it's just have to, you have to get on with it. And you did. And I did. And it was fine. Like the induction day was fine, but it could have been a lot better and easier and less of an emotional toll. Like, never mind the delivery, never mind the next day. But that day could have eased me into the next day a lot better.
So tell me about the next day.
So the next day I got checked at 7, I think I am. And they're like, okay, we can break your waters. So in my head, like again, all that I was thinking was, that means delivery suite. I was like, can I ring my partner? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, yes. You know, like finally. But I was like, this is going to be shit because I feel fine. Okay, that's going to be a long one. Like, but I remember and they were like, yeah, well, like you can tell him that he can come in, but we have to wait for a bed and delivery suite to be ready. So this is like 7:30 or something. So I was there, I was going to do my walks around the corridor and everything. And a midwife comes up to me and she's like, are you Olivia? And I was like, yeah. She's like, we have a bed for you. And I was like, So I rang him and I was like, you can come. I swear to God. So he was in Leopardstown where we live. He was at the delivery suite when I was at the delivery suite pretty much. Like I had literally just gotten into the bed and he was there, like he was ready to go.
What was that moment like?
It was really emotional. Because I just felt bad, not bad for him, but I was just like, I can just imagine him like even trying to park the car and stuff like that. I was like, I just wish he had been there earlier. But knowing that we're going to do it together, it was emotional because I was so grateful he was there. And I was so happy he wasn't going to be missing it. Do you know? So it was lovely.
That's it.
Yeah. Sorry.
You're okay. Will I make a cup of tea?
Not worry.
You sure? Yeah. Will we have one quick one?
Okay.
Come on.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, you're grand. So we just took a little break there to have a cup of tea. So, as we were saying, it was just very emotional, the two of you being together in that moment.
Yeah, it was so lovely. It was one of those where a million emotions came in at once. Do you know what I mean? But then we saw each other, it was real emotional. And then I just got real excited. I just got really giddy because I was like, I think it was, I was like, he's going to be here. He's not going to miss anything. And we got to do it together. And I got like proper giddy. Like it was so funny. Like I was giggling and all. And it was just, we were just having a ball. It was just so fun. Until the contraction started. But it was a lot all together. But then once I got over that, it was lovely. Like if I think I would, and as well at that moment, I think I wasn't sad, but I just had the realization that how different my pregnancy would have been if I knew it was in, say, a normal time where everything would have been how it normally is and there wasn't restrictions, and how much more fun it would have been and how much more I would have enjoyed it. Mm. I think it was obviously a big part of having the baby through COVID. Obviously, there's more kind of anxiety around everything and there's a bit more stress. But I was like, oh, it can actually be fun, you know? And I was like, I left that. That thought went as soon as it came. Do you know what I mean? I was like, what?
Like you were robbed of the excitement of the baby.
A little bit. And like that, some of my really close friends didn't see me pregnant.
Yeah.
Like at all. Not once. Didn't see a bump. Didn't see a thing. Like nothing. So I think that all just came into my head for a second. And then I was like, well, it's done. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So we'll just enjoy today and have this baby. Do you know? So then, yeah, they broke my waters then. And then everything started. But then it was painful. But we got there in the end. So that was about 9 o'clock, I think he got there. We got down there. And then after it was tough enough delivery, we had him at 8 o'clock that night.
God, from 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, three epidurals.
Did you have three epidurals?
Yeah, first one didn't work. Well, not three. So first one didn't work. This is about 12:30. I was like, I'll get an epidural now. They're like, because I was like, am I dilated? And they were like, no. And I was like, okay, well, this is getting really bad. Yeah, So I was like, can I get an epidural if I'm like 1 centimeter or 2? And they're like, yeah, it can actually be good for relaxing you. Mm. So then the dilation can start. Mm. So I was like, grand, I'll get that. Because I'd gone through them quite well because they even said it themselves. So I was on the drip.
Yeah.
Like, again, everything's just, nothing's happening naturally. Do you know what I mean? Everything's kind of being done to you. Like,
yeah.
So the contractions were like thick and fast. And I was like, I can't do this if I'm 2 centimeters now. Mm. Like, I was like, oh, I'll get the epidural. Then they're like, yeah, yeah, great. That's 12:30. So about 1 o'clock, they came to do it. And I was like, I'll be brand new. None. Like absolutely nothing happened. And they're like, oh, is this a bit colder than here? They started spraying things on me.
God.
Because I was like, it's not working. And the midwife was like, are you sure? And I was like, yes, I'm sure. And your man came back and like, I think it was a student guy doing it because had like someone with them.
Yeah.
And I was like, I never mind stuff like that because I think maybe being in a practical job, I know you have to physically do stuff to learn.
Yeah.
So, but the guy who was like supervising your man came back and he was like, are you sure? I was like, if you ask me, am I sure? One more time. He's like, had this like cold spray. It was like deep freeze or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was like, is that colder than that? Is that? And he did about 20. I was like, you're just making me freeze. And now I was I'm cold. Like they're both the same. So he's like, okay, we'll reposition it. And I was like, okay, like fine. I was like, it's crappy, but like whatever. Repositioned it. He's like, yeah, we'll reposition it and like up the medication or something. I still don't even know what it is. I didn't even care. Yeah. I was like, yeah, grand. Mm. And then I was like about 15 minutes after that. So I had to wait a while for that.
Yeah.
And then, I was like, should I be feeling any kind of relief now? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, I'm not. And they're like, really? And I was like, yeah, like nothing. So your man came back again and he was like, okay, yeah, we'll get some. We'll just do a whole other one.
Yeah.
I was like, grand. So this other guy came in and God bless him. He was lovely. But this is about 6 o'clock.
Oh my God.
So I was like, God.
Howling.
I was, banshee. Yeah. I was like, if anyone walked into that whole delivery suite, they were like, who the hell is that one? And I was like, So he came in and he was lovely, and I was just over. Yeah. I was just like, I can't be nice anymore. Do you know what I mean? Because normally I was like, oh, thanks. And I was just like, well, I wasn't mean, but I was just like, just do it. Yeah. I was like, just do it. So he was like, you just have to. And I was like, I know. And went into the position with the pillow and everything. And he did it. And I was just like, oh, thanks afterwards. And then straight away, I was like, this is what it should feel like. I was like, yeah. But at that point, the midwife was saying I'd been on the drip like nearly too long. So they were like, you're probably going to have a section.
Oh God.
And I was just like, oh my God. I was like, didn't care about the operation. Didn't care about any of that. I was like, 5 days on my own in here. That's all that was going through my head. And I was like, now, obviously if it has to be done for the baby, if he's in distress, bring me now. But like, I'm going to try everything I can not to have to do that. And so they're like, at about six, they were like, okay, we'll give you 45 minutes. And if you're not dilating, like, that's it. And then about 10 past six, they were taking the earrings out of my ear. They were like ringing. They were like, I was like, oh God. But yeah, a few minutes later, I was like, yeah, this is happening. And they were like, do you think you're like dilating and stuff? And I was like, yeah. They were like, will you check? And I was like, oh yeah, like I'm going. Like, they're like, okay, yeah, you're six centimeters in a few minutes. And I was like, deadly, because I was just like, oh, I just get to push, like I get to do it this way. And then a few minutes later, I was like to her, okay, I'm ready to push. And she was like, no, you're not. I was like, yeah, well, she didn't say no, you're not. But she was like, really? And I was like, yeah, no, I'm ready to go. And she's like, I'll just give you a little check there. And I could see the surprise in her face. She was like, yeah, you're ready to push. So yeah, I started pushing about seven. And I had him at eight, but it was like, it ended up being actually a really quick delivery. So they actually had to resuscitate him when he came out.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So that was like, just to top it all off, I was like, this is horrendous.
And did it come out naturally? It wasn't forced or anything?
Oh, well, he had
forceps.
No, suction cap.
Yeah, suction cap.
Yeah. So they had that and episiotomy, tears, all the fun stuff. But he came out and then, but they just said that he was in shock because it happened so quickly. Now, I don't know if they knew more than I did because there was a few people there waiting for him. Do you know what I mean? But I was like, I don't care. Like, they'll help him, do you know? So, yeah, they brought him off and I was just like, because I turned to Gar and I was just like, is he all right? Like, and as I was saying, I was like, he doesn't know if he's all right, but I just needed to say it to someone. And I'm not going to say it to a midwife because I know the answer that no one knows. So I was saying it to him. I was like, is he okay? And he's like, oh yeah, I think it happens with loads of babies. And then afterwards he was just like, I didn't know. Do you know what I mean? It was just like, it was crazy. But again, it was another time through the pregnancy and labor that I was like, what would I have done on my own? What would I have done there if I didn't have my baby, if I didn't have my partner, and a girl I know it happened to. Same induction and delivery. And she was on her own. And I was just like, how would you ever get over that? Like, how? First of all, the missing, the birth, but then the baby being brought up. Now, luckily for us, he was in the same room. He was just over there, so we could see him. And like, but waiting for that cry, oh my God. It was like the 20 weeks gone all over again. It was like, every second seemed like a year. Do you know what I mean? And we were just looking and looking. And we were just saying, yeah, is he okay? And obviously they can't say yeah. Do you know what I mean? So they're like, oh, we just have to do this and have to do that. And then we heard the cry. Oh my God. It was the best moment of my life. Like, there's nothing nearly compares to it. It was the best thing ever. They put me on my chest. And Gary, fair play to him. Now, he wouldn't be one to think of, took a picture of it. I know, like, we have it up in the house. But it was crazy. It's because I was just like, the love I had from, anyway, when he was in my belly. Because I was saying that to Gary, I was like, it's mad how I can love him. Well, I didn't know it was him. So that was another thing. I thought it was a girl.
Did you?
Yeah. So I had him and I was like, what is? And they're like, it's a boy. And I was like, what? It's like, I was just so convinced in my head. But yeah, I was just like, when I was pregnant, I was like, how can I feel this already? Do you know? And then, and I know people who have had the babies and they're like, it took me a few days to kind of, you know, I guess get all your emotions together, good, bad, and different. You know what I mean? But like now for me, it was like straight away.
Really?
Like just, oh, I can't describe it. Can't describe it. And then, yeah. And but another thing is like, it was maybe 10 minutes later, was going through my head and like Gary was holding him. I was like, he has to go now. All that I was thinking of was like, when does he have to go? When does he have to go? When does he have to go? Mm. Do you know what I mean? And I know people who had 10 minutes and then their partners had to go. I know people who had hours. Do you know what I mean? It depended on where you were and who was working. But yeah, I just, it was a part of it, definitely. Now, the joy and happiness did overtake it, obviously, at that point. And we got loads of pictures and it was fab. Like, it was just amazing. But then, like, I think it's about an hour and a half later and, like, I was changed or whatever and they put me in the wheelchair and gave me the baby and all, and it was just so happy. And then they're like, okay, so daddy has to go. And I was just like, God. And I didn't want to be upset for him. And I know he didn't want to be upset for me. But it was like, we were just like brought out the delivery suite and I went one way and he went the other way. And it was just like, I was just in my head being like, what's he do now? Does he just go home and watch telly? Or like, what does he do? Like that he can't be with me and the son.
The silent trauma of that is just shocking.
It's crazy. It's just mad because, like I said, it was about 9:30, 10:30 then when I was going to the ward. So the ward of 6 girls, including me, and everyone was like asleep. It was like nighttime in the hospital. So I was there and I was just after going through those 2 days and had this gorgeous baby and like he came out gorgeous. I was just like, he's just gorgeous. So I was just staring at him and like, Gary just rang me. Like we were just video calling for like hours and it was just like, it was just really hard. I was just like, why could he be beside me an hour ago and not now? Do you know? I don't know. But like afterwards, whatever about leading up to the birth and whatever, afterwards was by far the toughest time of the whole thing. Like, because we had no visitors, so there was nothing. So that was like all the restrictions and the scans and everything. It's tough. But afterwards was by far the most challenging, physically and mentally, both of them. I wasn't myself at all. And it took, well, obviously I just had a baby as well, but it took a lot out of me and it took a lot more than I thought it did. Do you know what I mean? Only recently I'm realizing and kind of talking about it now, as I was just saying to you, it's like when you start talking about it, you just realize how much it's kind of built like in you. Do you know what I mean? So I had him. Yeah, I had him at 8 o'clock and went down there about 9:30. And then I got half an hour sleep that night after 2 days of like labor, I guess, contractions and the likes. And then you're just up for the day. And then Friday, like I knew that night I wasn't going to be going home the next day. I got told by the night midwives who were amazing. They were like, because I came down and he had to have the heel pricks just for his glucose, just to make sure that he could regulate his own sugars after my diabetes and stuff. And the midwives that night were amazing because I was just bawling. I was just crying and crying and crying and crying. And it was just everything. You just felt so, I guess, not unlucky. You felt so lucky because you had him, but it was just like, why did it have to be now? Do you know what I mean? And why am I on my own? Do you know what I mean? Why? And he was getting his heel pricks and they were bringing him off and I was just sitting there waiting for him to come back. And it was just crazy. It was crazy. But the next day, the Friday was actually, so I hadn't Thursday night. The Friday was the toughest day because no one came near me the whole day. Like zero people, by the people that gave me my food. So my breakfast and stuff. because I thought I'd be getting a bit of support, and because obviously no one had visitors, I thought there'd be a little bit more, I don't know, stuff going on, people helping you.
And that's what, like, I was saying about the support person. Yeah. Like that.
Then it would have been like, I would have taken anything then. Mm. Do you know? Because I was feeding them. I'd never like fed a newborn.
And no one talks about breastfeeding or?
Oh, no, nothing. So I was like, I don't breastfeed now, but then I did for a while. But I didn't have a clue. Sure, I went in and I was like, oh yeah, sure, I'm going to breastfeed. So I didn't have formula. I didn't have anything. I didn't know. I didn't even think about that side of stuff. Yeah. Because all you're thinking about is the labour and are you going to be on your own? So I hadn't even thought about that. So they're like, you going to breastfeed or formula or whatever? And I was like, oh yeah, I'll breastfeed. And they're like, okay. And I was just like, I don't know how to do it. Because they latched him on when he was born. And to be fair, his latch was great.
Yeah.
Like he latched straight on that night. But obviously he didn't latch every time, and I didn't know if I was holding him right. I didn't know if I was hurting him, because he was crying, but he was crying because he was hungry. But like, you don't know if you're doing something wrong or if anything's even coming out. And there's no reassurance. There was no help. And as I said, the place was crazy. Like there's people everywhere. Do you know what I mean? As in girls having the babies. So I know the midwives were rushed off their feet, but at the same time, and there's nothing against midwives at all. They were gorgeous. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And this whole thing and me talking about the restrictions, I've said it before, like it's not about hospital staff. Like I know midwives and they don't understand it either. Mm. They don't understand why the partners aren't there. But it's so tough because you're going off no sleep either. So it's like, how am I supposed to do all this and understand it and shower and go to the toilet and... Because you're in bits, like you're in absolute bits. And it's like, I didn't want to leave him for a second. Never mind leave him on his own. Do you know what I mean? It's like...
And I asked you that off mic. Is there not the bond between you women on the ward?
Yeah. It was just weird. Like, I think we were all... If I go by me, I think we were all just in a little bit of shock about what happened. And... like, I think you're trying to process it all. And like, there's girls that had sections and like their babies beside them and there's no one to, like they're ringing the midwife and they have to, obviously they have to ring the midwife to even pick up the baby to feed them. Mm. And it's like, I'm sure they don't want to be doing that. Like, do you know what I mean? When, if they had a partner beside them, they could take them up because they can't even, I presume, ring them just to pick them up. Mm. Do you know, it's, I think everyone had their own little story. And well, obviously everyone does, but especially the day after having a baby, it was, I think everyone was just processing it. So I don't think it was...
overwhelmed?
Oh, 100% overwhelmed, 100%. But like even the kind of camaraderie we had in the induction thing, I think it was just, it was completely different than afterwards. Because you're just trying to process everything. So like the Friday, no one talked. Like six of us, excuse me, like the curtains were just pulled and I think everyone was just a bit upset. Like, I think everyone was just sad. Like, sad. Like, obviously, I was the happiest I've ever been. Mm. Like, from that day, I really was. And I was so happy he was here and even getting to dress him and, you know, little things.
Do you feel you have to keep saying that?
What?
That you were so happy with him, but you still had that?
Yeah.
Because you keep doing that.
I know.
Because you're allowed to be sad, you know that. You're allowed to be feeling alone.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You should give yourself a break.
I didn't think about that, actually. Yeah, I just don't want to seem like I'm moaning all the time.
No, but you know, like, you've been robbed of, you and Gary have been robbed of such a beautiful experience to share those moments. Mm-hmm. And even your mom and dad, your sister's family coming up to see the baby, you've been robbed of that. So you have to stop doing that because
I know,
you know, we know you loved your baby. We know that was the happiest time of your life, but you still have a right to feel sad and lonely.
Yeah, no, yeah, you're right. You're right. I know. I never thought of it like that, to be honest. Well, yeah, I get it. I understand that. Yeah.
Don't do yourself, you know.
Yeah. And that, like, and that was the thing. And I think that's why no one really talked, because everyone just was a bit like, what the fuck just happened? Mm. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And what am I doing now? Like, how do I do this all by myself? And like, I'll never forget having that first shower. I've never showered as quick in my life, and I could barely walk. I nearly fell out, like I fully nearly fell out the shower because I was trying to get out of it so quick. Mm. And that was because my baby was on his own. Like my hours old baby. Like, and I was like, I've never seen a baby that like newborn. So I was like, I didn't know. Obviously stuff can happen so quickly, or like he was obviously swaddled, but I was like, if he rolls, like I knew he couldn't roll, but you know, if something happens, everything goes through your head.
Rational thoughts.
Oh yeah, completely. Like, so that was, and obviously you can't come out in your towel either. Mm. So I was like trying to get dressed, and how I didn't hurt myself, I have no idea, because it was just madness. But yeah, it was like, it was a couple of days, and the only person I talked to then was a girl on the Saturday. Because as I was saying to you, my head just wasn't there. Mm. So on the Saturday, I was like, I'm leaving today, to the midwives. And they're like, oh yeah. So they were saying, yeah, but they were like, baby has to get all his checks, and then you just have to get a check because of your wounds and stuff. And then you can go. So I was like, grand. So I had him up dressed. Now he's awake anyway, obviously we were awake, but like he was dressed, ready to go at 7 a.m. Like, good. Like ready to go home. Like Gar was on to me, what time do you think? And I'm like, I don't know. So he got he started getting his checks about 8. Like they're really good. Mm. And he was all finished his checks, I think, by like 9:30. So I was like, oh, I was like to Gar, I was like, he's done. I just need a quick check. I know I'm fine. Like I feel as fine as I could. Do you know what I mean? I know nothing's wrong. Mm. You know, you know your body. Yeah. You know if something's wrong or not. And if there was something wrong, I 100% would have stayed. I wasn't that irrational. Do you know what I mean? At that point, I wasn't. Like I wouldn't have put myself home if I wasn't ready to go home. Mm. Do you know? If neither of us were. And so his checks were all done, and then they just literally needed a 2-second check for me. And they're like, we need a doctor to do it. So I was like, okay. And then, so I was like to Gar, I was like, oh, it'll be before lunchtime anyway. Lunchtime was like 1. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, it'll have to be before lunchtime. And then, but I was still impatient. So like I was every minute, I was like, come on. And then like 10:30 came, 11:30 came, 12:30 came, 1:30 came. And then even lunch, they were coming around at lunch and they were like, do you want something? And I was like, oh no, sure, I'm going home. Like, I'm grand, I'll get something. Because I text Karen and I was like, I'm getting McDonald's on my own. So, because I couldn't eat, because I could finally eat bad again after
but
the diabetes.
But even that little thing of him ringing you, because I've experienced it, and Paul saying to me, what you want? And I was like, oh my God, get me a KFC.
Yeah.
And sneaking it onto the award for
me. Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like even that little thing
was
taken away from you.
Oh, yeah. Because like even being able to, like a little thing, I was like, they'd give me a cup of tea and I'd be like, oh, all I want is chocolate with it.
Yeah.
But I wasn't going down to the shop. I wasn't doing that walk.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, no one was with you. So it was a little thing. It was a little thing. And sometimes I was like, you want them there to hold the baby and so you can shower and you can go toilet. But I was like, oh, just bring me a chocolate bar. Just run to the shop, like, you know, or bring me a coffee that you can't get here. Yeah. Like
Starbucks.
Yeah, literally. Hotlips, yeah. So, but yeah, it was like, so then I was waiting for the doctor. Yeah. 1:30, 2:30, 3:30. And I was like, oh, here. Because little Gary was up as well. He was waiting to meet his brother.
Oh,
like,
God.
Like Gary had seen him for an hour, but like he'd met him. Little guy was just waiting, and he was like, he'd made him pictures and all. Oh, so cute. They're waiting ready to go, like up and dressed, the two of them to be up and dressed at like 8 o'clock, 8:30 when they didn't, like, is a big thing. And they just weren't coming around. So I was like, I was wandering the corridors being like, someone check me. Like I'm going. And then other girls were starting to leave. And I was like, how are they leaving? I can't remember their situations anyway, but they were allowed to go. So I was like, I'm going. And but like that, as I was saying, my head wasn't there. So I had the car seat there. I go to Gary. I was like, leave. I was like, come here. I'm going.
Mm.
And he was like, but you can't. And I was like, I don't care if I can or not. Mm. The baby got checked. He's fine. Now, if I was waiting for his checks, it would have been a lot of a completely different story. But I was like, I'm gone. I was like, I'm not like, and but at the same time, I wasn't seeing anyone. So there still wasn't midwives coming. There still wasn't any of that happening. I was just sitting there on my own on the side of the bed. So when he then, I saw a midwife and I just started crying to her. I was just like, I have to go home. Like now, I have to leave this place. Because honestly, it felt like a prison. Like I felt like I was in prison those few days. Like I really did. Because like anyway, being in, like imagine being in a room on your own for 2 days. Just on your own. Well, actually, however many days, Wednesday, Thursday, I wasn't on my own, Friday, Saturday. So like 3 days, just put in a room on your own. Like, what would that do to your head? Anyway, never mind throwing a newborn in the middle of it. No one to talk. Like you have your phone, but it's not the same as talking to someone or like interaction, do you know? So yeah, I just started crying to her and I was like, I need to get out of here. Like I felt like I was honestly, if I had to stay that night, I would have lost my mind. Like I would, it would have been a lot worse than it was. And I know for a fact it would have been. But she, I don't know what happened, but now it took a little while, but she was like, I'll get someone now. I'll get someone now. So the doctor came down and like, that's the thing was, when I say a 30-second check, like that's all it was. But now I completely understand they're busy and they have 5 million other things to be doing. That's, it's not anything on them, which is in, I'm, all of this is my personal view of it and my situation. Like, but I was just like, I couldn't. So I went to the girl in the ward and I was like, you have to help me with the car seat. I was like, I can't, I couldn't wrap my head around how to loosen the straps on the car seat. Like that's where I was. Do you know what I mean? In my head. And she's like, oh, you just do this and this. Cause I knew she had had a baby before. Like that was her second baby. And she's like, you do that. And I was like, oh, thanks. And then you're like, oh, I can't even do that. Do you know what I mean? But like at the same time I was crying and I was doing all this, but I knew it was the tiredness.
Yeah,
and I
knew emotionally exhausted.
Emotionally exhausted, physically exhausted, every, and I knew it was that. And then I swear to God, when I saw them that day, oh my God, the relief and the joy and the happiness and the, I just felt like all the worry was gone. Do you know what I mean? I really did. And obviously it's like they get to bond and like it was gorgeous. At the same time, I was like, I get help. Do you know what I mean? I get to go to the toilet. I get like literally, I get to just do anything, get to shower properly. I get to
sleep.
Yeah. How did I forget that? We get to sleep. Yeah. So it was, that was, and then from then on, it has been the most amazing, like amazing doesn't even cover it. It's been the best time of my life.
Really?
I swear to God, I love every second of it.
I see it.
Love every second of it. It's just been amazing. Gorgeous.
So he's 3.5 months now, is he?
Yeah. He's 4 months next week. Yeah. I don't even know how the months work, but he's 15 weeks yesterday. Yeah. So he's great. Like he loves a laugh. Like loves a laugh already. And like properly has us in giggles. Like is into everything. He's huge. He is huge. It's like you'd see him now, you'd think you'd like five, 6 months.
I did. Yeah. I seen the picture and I was live. And I was
did
like,
you see him just sitting there alive?
Yes, just sitting there.
I was like, I'm not saying, I was holding him up because as well, I had the thing, I had my phone in a box on the changing unit on the thing. So I was like, I can't even move it. But when I sat down, he was real low. So I like had to prop him up and like I put him outwards. I think it helped. Andrew was on it. Like my brother was on it because we're used to FaceTiming him because he's in LA. So I think he saw him and was like, just looking at him. But he was tired. He was like, I just couldn't. Cop, I was like, what is going on?
I was like, he's about 6 months. I was like, he's huge.
Yeah.
He is huge. And I was like, oh my God, he's so cuddly looking. But it's mad, isn't it? Like to have the joy they bring into your life. Like it's just changing.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But he, like with that, I was like, if I say something, he's going to start like bawling, crying or something.
Yeah.
He didn't. Like, he had a little bit of moans. Like, that's a little. I actually ended up playing with a hat because I was like, I didn't have his toys. But, oh, he's great. Like, and he sleeps and he drinks and he's just fab. He's just great.
And tell me about, you said at the start of this, at the top of this, there was some Linda.
Oh, yeah. So Linda from Women Ascend then. So I had followed them for a little bit. And then
is there support groups for women, pregnant women during COVID? Is there?
I heard none. I heard nothing. And then, yeah, after I had him, all I had was public health nurse.
God.
So that was it. Like, I guess, again, because it was my first baby, I still don't know what there's normally out there for people, but there was nothing for me. Like, there was no talk. No, there was zero talk about COVID. Never mind just having a baby, because the normal groups aren't.
Yeah.
On. For sure. Even like the, what are they called?
Oh, yeah.
The ones when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
To go in. Mm. Like, none of that was happening. And it was like, watch these videos on thing. And I was like, oh, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, nothing, like nothing's on. I don't know about now, but at that time I didn't, bar my scans and then checkups, I had no other, nothing about pregnancy or the baby, like nothing. And afterwards, zero.
So what is Women Ascend? What is that?
So Women Ascend, it was like, it's a little community on, well, I saw it on Instagram, and it's, she teamed up with Uplift, so Siobhan from Uplift, and like there's a few other kind of pages that came together, and they did a fundraiser, well, like took donations, and then took out this full page spread in the Irish Independent, I think it was,
okay.
The other day. So now I hadn't been in touch with her, and I hadn't messaged her or anything, but I, like, I'd been following, and I, there's another page in our shoes, COVID pregnancy in there. Something like that.
Okay.
You know, when you're reading it, you don't actually cope with it.
Yeah.
But it's about being pregnant and COVID. And unfortunately, a lot of the stories are harrowing and very upsetting. And but it's reality. Mm. That's the thing. Like, I talk about my story and it's straight. Mine was a straightforward pregnancy.
Mm.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you hear about these stories of like very tough times, heartbreaking, life changing times, and women are on their own. But with this page, then I was like, oh, I have to buy the, and I hadn't even talked about it to anyone, hadn't talked about it to Gary, to my family, because you don't want to upset them. Mm. You don't want them to be upset for you, because as you said, they missed out on stuff. Mm. So like my mom, like now they met him when he came out of the hospital. Like when I came out from the hospital, my mom and Gary's mom was in the apartment waiting for me. Do you know what I mean? But even like that, sure, I have friends that still haven't met him. But I was like, I'm going to post this picture. And because as I said, I was very private even about the pregnancy.
Mm.
But I was like, I'm going to post this picture and just say a little bit that it happened, like that going through it was tough. And I didn't really expect anything to come from it. I just wanted just to really show my support for the girls who put all this effort into the ad and stuff. So I wrote it, and then my brother rang me straight away, and he was just like, so I took a picture of me and Luke and the page from the paper and posted it. And my brother rang me straight away and he was like, what the hell? And I was like, what? Because he was in LA for the whole thing. Like, me and my brother are as close as anything. Mm. So that was another thing of going through the pregnancy, like without him. Like, I, even though he lives in LA, we'd see each other 4 or 5 times a year. Like, we're, and we talk pretty much every day. Like, we are thick, like thick as thieves. Mm. And she's like, I didn't know any of that happened. And I was like, he didn't even really know about the restrictions or anything.
Did you feel you didn't want to burden people?
Yeah. Oh God, 100%.
Okay.
And I think that was, I think that's kind of why it took so long for this. Well, it shouldn't have taken it. There shouldn't be restrictions. But I think that's why it took so long for this to kind of gain momentum, because everyone was like, oh, like I'm fine and like we're alive.
Mm.
And I think that's what this has shown a lot as well, is women's health in Ireland is a joke.
Mm.
Like we're not priority. We're just kind of being like, oh, well, like they're women, they'll get over it, they'll be fine.
Mm.
Like, and I've seen stories about women and whose babies, and they would be talking about it to like their doctors or something, and they'd be like, "Oh well, you're both alive, so aren't you?"
Yeah, sure. Her and a baby's grand. Yeah. What's she going on about?
And but you know, and that's how I felt afterwards. And I was like, afterwards when I was talking about this, I was like, this can't be our standard. Like, this can't be the standard of level of care for women in Ireland, that we're glad to be alive, that we're glad our babies are alive. Like, are you joking me? Yeah. And I didn't even think of it before that, because I know countless women who have been pregnant and have had kids, and you never hear the bad stories, because women are like, oh, like, it's grand, we're fine. And it's until you start talking about it that nothing's going to change, because if you say you're grand, everyone's going to be like, oh, well,
she's grand.
The next one will be grand as well. Mm. So why do we change? Why do we make our lives hard changing policies and putting more infrastructures in place? Do you know? Mm. So, and it was only, I realized after posting that and then I started talking to the women, because Andrew and me did a live then, and he asked Linda to be a part of it, and she very graciously did join it. And then I've been talking to her loads since and been a little bit more vocal on the groups, and I only realized how much I needed it. I really did. And like, I'm not doing anything but being on my phone, because obviously still with restrictions can't do much, but we need to talk about it. And that's the only way that stuff will change. Because that's when the campaign gained a bit of momentum, then that's when Tony Hulihan came out and said that there's no need for the restrictions to be in place. Stephen Donnelly said as well, the Minister for Health. And it's like, why are they still in place?
Because they are still in place.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So now I think, so partners can now go to the 20-week scan. And now, but again, it's different in every hospital. So that's what the girls are saying. From what happened to me in the Coombe, it could have been even worse down the country or in different hospitals. So I think now most of them are on this national policy, are like abiding to it. But the whole point is that the national policy isn't good enough. So everyone thinks it's all over, because they're like, oh yeah, 15 out of the 19 hospitals are abiding by the national policy. But the national policy doesn't do much. So it's like, there's partners still aren't at 12-week scans. They're not, it's not kind of clear in when in labor they can be there either. So that's still up to the hospitals. So it's still very wishy-washy. So people are like, oh yeah, it's over. Like, the girls are grand. Like, that's done. But it's not at all. So that's why we have to keep the momentum going. And it's trying to get swept under the rug again. And we're just not going to let it this time.
No. But hopefully now we'll release the podcast on Monday, and that might, you know, just share that out with people as well.
And that's why I'm so grateful for you asking me to do this, because any kind of publicity anyone can get for this, we have to keep it out there, and we have to let people know. There's not, like, so many people didn't even know there was restrictions when I was going in at the height of it. Do you know what I mean? So if you, it's a thing as well. It's not just a fight for pregnant people. You don't have to be pregnant or have a baby to fight for this. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone has to get behind this and realize that we need to do better. Even in general, even when all the restrictions are back, or sorry, are lifted, I think women's health has to be put very much on the, like, in the front burner for, like, progressing and getting better in this country, because we're being forgotten about.
And is Women Ascend on Instagram?
Yeah.
And people can follow there and follow all the information?
Yeah. Yeah, she's a women_ascend.
I'll tag it in anyway.
Yeah, so she's amazing. Yeah, Linda is an amazing woman.
So are you.
Oh, thanks.
No, but you are. Like, that's what I'm saying. Give yourself a break. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because you are. And look what you're doing. You're a businesswoman. You've got a three and a half month old. You're now realising that you have a voice. And your story is going to help so many people. So you're amazing too, you know?
Thanks.
Right? I'd love to give you a big hug, but we can't.
I know, it's so sad.
Olivia, on that note, thank you so much for sitting down with me and telling me your story. And as I said, we'll tag everything that needs to be tagged, and I think this will help a lot of people.
Thank you so much, Rebecca. Thanks.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.